get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download Bashani Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download Bashani Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Bashani Radio app for free now.
Welcome to the Seed Sowing Sister Movement on the Bashani Radio app, the Bashani website, and on all other podcast formats. I'm your lead seed sowing sister, Patrice. Thank you for joining me today. To find out more about me, connect with me at patricebrantley.com. So we're jumping right into the topic today, a character reference. This is part two. If you have not had an opportunity to check out part one, make sure you check out that part with Walking in Grace and Favor and part one of the character reference from last week. So we are in chapter 7 of Ezra, and we have finally met the main character of this book, Ezra himself. And we are now at the point where we're discovering why he has been called, what he is doing, and what the king has to say about him. We entered a little bit of that last week. But before we get into that, I need you to call a friend, text a friend, post it on your social media page. Let everyone know that the Seed Sowing Sister is on and that she's waiting on who? You. We want to make sure we're taking a moment to share and get the gospel out. Once you've done that, I need you to grab your pencil and your paper and most definitely your Bible. We're starting in Ezra chapter 7, verses 19 to 28. Deliver to the God of Jerusalem all the articles entrusted to you for worship in the temple of your God, and anything else needed for the temple of your God that you may have occasion to supply, that you may provide from the royal treasury. Now I, King of Xerxes, order all of the treasuries of Trans-Euphrates to be provided with diligence, whatever Ezra the priest, a teacher of the law of God of heaven, may ask you. Up to 100 talents of silver, 100 quarts of wheat, 100 baths of wine, and 100 baths of olive oil, with salt with no limit. Whatever the God of heaven has prescribed, let it be done with diligence for the temple of God of heaven. Why should there be wrath against the realm of the king and his sons? You are also to know that you have no authority to impose any taxes, tribute, or duty on any of the priests, Levites, singers, gatekeepers, temple servants, or other workers at the house of the God. And you, Ezra, in accordance with the wisdom of your God, which you possess, appoint magistrates, judges, to administer justice to all the people of Trans-Euphrates, all who know the laws of your God, any of you that you are welcome to teach that do not know. Whoever does not obey the law of your God and the law of the king must surely be punished by death, banished, confiscated, any of their properties, or imprisoned. Praise be the Lord, the God of our fathers, who has put it into the king's heart to bring honor to the house of the Lord in Jerusalem in this way, and who has extended his good favor to me before the king and his advisors and all the king's powerful officials, because the hand of the Lord my God was on me. I took courage and gathered leading men from Israel to go up with me. Talk about a glowing recommendation about who Ezra is. Now, we talked about Ezra last week, and we discovered that Ezra is a devoted teacher to the people, and he is being sent on a mission by the king, Artaxerxes. Remember, we know King Artaxerxes is not a believer. But he's sending out Ezra, the priest and the teacher, the man who was devoted to the word of the Lord, out to this area. He's sending him on a mission. And as he's sending them here, when they had to send people out on a mission in the olden days, they would send them with a letter. That letter would be like a passport to get into the entry of that country. And this is what the king has spoken about Ezra. So we're picking up today a little deeper in his letter, of course. And as we get into this, he literally sends Ezra out as a heavenly delivery service. KC1, can you be trusted to be God's heavenly delivery service? Can you be that person that God says, I trust you to deliver this message. I trust you to deliver this amount of money. I trust you to go and get these people out. Can God trust you to be a heavenly deliverer or a heavenly delivery service? And then what I love about this, we get to see here that not only was Ezra sent on a heavenly mission to deliver something, he was also entrusted with the items for the temple. This is the highest honor and regard because he literally was trusted with the items for the temple worship. We know that's the beginning of a powerful service, bringing that worship in, that praise in. And the worship was one of the key experiences that you can encounter at the beginning of your walk in the praise and worship in the temple. This was your opening key, one of your opening keys to connecting with heaven. And then I love about this, not only did you see in verse 20, it says, and anything needed for the temple of your God, that you may have an occasion to be supplied and provided for by the royal treasury. When the Lord sends you out on a heavenly mission, he provides for you heavenly provision through earthly hands. You know, I had to learn this many times. When in my younger days, I would say, well, you know, if God's going to send me to this, he's going to provide for it. And I would look for it in other different ways. But guess what God started doing for me? He started putting me in the right places with the right people. And I started getting provided from through earthly hands. People will say, hey, I know you're working on this. Let me seed into this. People are saying, hey, I know that you're going to be doing this event. Let me give you X amount of dollars so you don't have to pay for this or that. At that point, I was so new to this. I had no idea that God would provide in that way. And literally, we're seeing in the text the same thing happening for Ezra. Ezra was being provided heavenly provision through earthly hands. And then, hey, catch this team. Not only was he providing it through earthly hands, he was providing it through hands that didn't necessarily believe in the same gospel that he believed in. But let's keep going. Let's look at the letter a little deeper. He's saying, now, I, King Xerxes, order all the treasuries of Trans-Euphrates to provide with diligence whatever Ezra the priest, the teacher of the law of God of heaven, may ask of you. Listen at what he told him to provide. They had to provide 100 talents of silver, 100 quarts of wheat, 100 baths of wine, 100 baths of olive oil, and salt with no limit. Let's break this all the way down. Literally, he was telling them the treasury will offer up to you up to 6,000 talents of silver, up to 600 bushels of wheat. I'm going to give you another 600 gallons of wine and another 100 baths of olive oil. That would be another 600 gallons of olive oil and salt with no limit. Literally, if this was a struggling economy, their treasury would have been closed down. But what God did was that because they had an overflowing economy, God allowed Ezra to have an overflowing economy to get the work of the Lord done. So it takes you right into key C4. Ezra's life was overflowing with the grace, favor, and goodness of God. He literally at this point was seeing the overflow from not hands that necessarily agreed with his gospel, but they were putting into it and they were favoring into it because God had given them the heart to do so. And then I love what he says here in verse 23, whatever God of heaven has prescribed, let it be done with diligence for the temple of God of heaven. And then they even broke it down and said, you know what, to make sure that we keep our kingdom in order, let's make sure that we cover not just the king, but his sons. Can you imagine having a leadership that yearns for such peace and prosperity through the hands of the Lord that they don't even serve, but they know how this man Ezra walks, that he is a man of integrity and standard, that he has led the leaders to want to do things peacefully. He's literally, you're literally seeing here the leaders walking into a place of, I don't want confusion. I want collaboration. When's the last time you had a really great leader in your life, especially if you're in the workforce? When have you last seen a great boss, or I like to call them leaders, not bosses? It's a whole different story behind that. But how have you had a good leader that shows you you don't have to compete? You need to collaborate so that it works well and that the work is done in diligence. Then I love when you get to verse 24, it says, you are also to know that you have no authority. Not only was they given godly provision, but they was told, hey, you don't even have authority to impose taxes, tribute, or duty to any of the priests, the Levites, the singers, the gatekeepers, the temple servants, or any other workers of the house of the Lord. So not only was he blessing their hand, but he was saying, I'm going to bless your hand, and you can't even pay taxes on me. That's how good I'm going to bless you. Then let's go a little further. When we get to verse 25, we get here, and it says, and you, Ezra, in accordance with the wisdom of your God, which you possess, appoint magistrates and judges to administer justice to all of the people in Trans-Euphrates, all who know the laws of your God. And here's the kicker. He even told them, the ones who don't know, I'm allowing you to teach it. So now you see literally Ezra's gifting, his connection with the Lord, making room for him. Literally, he's telling him, I know, Ezra, I know you're a man of standard. I know you're a man of integrity. I know you are a man of wisdom because you serve the God of wisdom. And he says to him, because you serve the God of wisdom, whoever you appoint, I go along with. And he said to him, go find magistrates and judges to administer justice to all the people of Trans-Euphrates. Then I love that when he gets to this, this gives you a hint of, hey, KC6, wherever the Lord places you, he is going to put you in positions where the gifting that he has given you will be used. Because Ezra wasn't going up here and moved in a different space to do something different that he was not qualified for. He was literally walking right into his wheelhouse, right into the thing that worked out perfectly for him. He was told, once you get that, do what you love to do, teach the people. And then what I love about it, he even told him, whoever you choose, because I know you're a man of wisdom, I go along with. He put him in a space that he got him to choose the right people, put the right people in the right place, appoint them to administer justice, and then he got a chance to teach. What I love about it is when you get to KC7, we notice that Ezra's knowledge and heavenly wisdom was not just known in his circle, but known throughout the kingdom. And then when we get to KC8, his role as a teacher was to witness to others, those who knew God and those who didn't know God. And then I love when you get here to where it says, verse 26, whoever does not obey the law of God, of your God, the law of the king and the law of the king, must surely be punished by death, banishment, confiscation of property, or imprisonment. What I love about this is when the leader has the heart of God, they don't look for confusion. So they're saying a good leader wants you to be completely aligned with the vision of what everyone is doing. And literally, he broke it down in such a way in verse 26 where he says, they don't obey the law of your God if they don't obey him, and they don't obey the law of the king, which was at this point one and the same, because the king was walking with the heart of God that he had been given by God. He said, oh, they would have to be punished. They would have to be punished either by death, banishment, confiscation of property, or imprisonment. And what I love about it, when you get here, when you're following what God tells you to do, the right people that he gives you in place will back you. You won't have to go over here trying to lobby and look for votes and try to get people to be on your side. Automatically, he will make it in such a way, the Lord will, that people will back you and say yes, because he's walking in the authority of God, she's walking in the authority of God, I want to make sure that I'm honoring that man and woman of God. Then I love 27, he says, praise be to the Lord, the God of our fathers, who has put it into the king's heart to bring honor to the house of the Lord in Jerusalem in this way. And he had extended his good favor to me before the king and his advisors and all the king's powerful officials, because the hand of the Lord, my God, was on me. I took courage and gathered the leading men from Israel to go up with me. What I love about this, in the midst of all of this that Ezra is walking into. And as you know, the old folks would say, he's walking in tall cotton now. He's walking around with the big dogs. Or as we would say back in the day with Martin, I'm stumping with the big dogs. He's stumping. But he took time to go back and say, you know what, Lord, I give you this honor and praise because you are the one who turned the king's heart. You allowed them to honor you in this way. And because he walked in such a space of honoring the Lord, the Lord gave him more favor, more goodness. And when all of this happened, he didn't just extend this honor to Ezra. It was happening for the king, the king's advisors, and other officials, all because Ezra had the hand on the Lord on him. And because they trusted Ezra and the God in Ezra, he was able to stand up and gather these leading men to go up from Israel with him. Let's look at the wise words for this section. Wise word number one. We learn with Ezra. Ezra was humble enough to be a heavenly delivery man who reaped the benefits of being an excellent servant for the kingdom. That should be the mission for every believer. We should be humble enough to be that heavenly delivery person who can reap the benefits of being an excellent servant for the kingdom. Then you also get to see that Ezra was a man who was described by the king as an honorable man who was devoted to the Lord and displayed godly wisdom and integrity. I love this because even Ezra's so-called haters, people who didn't celebrate what he did, literally could look at his life and describe him as an honorable man. They could describe him as a man of integrity, a man of integrity and wisdom. That's what we should be striving for today. All of us, when someone looks at you, how would they describe you? I want you to take some time today and I want you to kind of just settle in that word. Let it soak in, what I call marinate. Let that marinate for a minute. How would someone describe you? Would they be able to write a glowing letter, a glowing character reference, as the King Xerxes had written for Ezra? Or would they have something else on the page? Well, y'all know how this goes. Let's go out and be great because we are great. And our greatness is now. It no longer awaits. Make sure you join me next week. We're going to talk about tips to entering God's presence. I'm looking forward to that because this definitely is the time and season that we want to know how to enter in the Lord's presence in a new and exciting way. You all have an amazing day, and I look forward to seeing you next week. And don't forget to share this podcast with a friend.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.